Yo, dudes. What's up, dudes?
Yo.
Yo.
How you dudes doing?
Chilling. It's October.
That's right.
Yeah,
Getting into the Halloween spirit.
I woke up this morning and I was like, dude. Who are you guys?
I'm Beth, and if you slap me twice when I'm upset, I will not fall in love with you. Unless I do.
Unless you do.
Might happen.
I'm Buggy, and I can't keep on seeing you in jungles.
I'm Cody, and I have a secret that could destroy the world. And now I'm going to retire. Okay, so it's October. We have a dog roaming through our recording studio. But yay, we made it to October, everybody.
Ooh, yeah!
I don't know where we are in October. It's always a bit weird because these episodes come out a while after we record. But let's just say we're balls deep in October.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just the tip.
Yeah, we're up to our bleeding assholes in horror movies.
Like it's better.
Oh my God. Anyways, we'll set aside some time to talk about all the movies we've been watching later. So I thought we could do one of two things. We can either talk about colonoscopies or we can just get right into Buggy's movie. What do you guys want to do? Talk about colonoscopies?
I love the former. I love that.
Well, that's young people. Beware. If you live to the ripe old age of 45, your time will come. It'll be colon time. But no, let's not.
let's not say we did. For sure.
Do you think that when Colin Powell went to get his colonoscopy, they gave him a hard time about it?
Probably. I mean, I think they gave everyone a hard time about it.
Oh, man. Ouch.
Oh, my God. We're stepping on each other's capes tonight.
Yeah. Okay, what are we watching tonight? What are we reviewing tonight? We watched it. I watched it.
We're watching Mad Monster Party, one of my favorite old stop motion films.
Hell yeah. This is an animated film. We've never done an animated film.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a kids film. This is the first kids film we've ever reviewed here.
I'm always
on
breaking
Gym
the
Hunt.
Rules. I'm sorry, guys.
I mean, there wasn't a rule against that.
There's no rules against kids films. Hits the criteria. I'm fine with kids films. Okay, so Mad Monster Party, released in 1967, kind of an old one. Directed by Jules Bass. Produced by Arthur Rankin. So Rankin and Bass did all of the animation for some of your favorite holiday classics like Rudolph and Frosty. I think they were involved in the old Hobbit too. Mm-hmm. Anyways, they've done some cool animated stuff. Their process is called Animagic. Anal magic?
Nope. No more butt stuff.
All right, fine.
There's a moratorium.
I'm sure there's more on that thing.
Written by Len Korobkin, Harvey Kurtzman, and Arthur Rankin Jr. This is starring the voice of Boris Karloff as Baron Boris von Frankenstein.
Ooh,
oh, wait, Frankenstein. Yeah. Alan Swift did the voice of Felix and a whole shit ton of monsters. Phyllis Diller, who apparently is some kind of comedian. I don't know. I am also a person that doesn't know Phyllis Diller.
Phyllis Diller is like a trailblazing female comedian. She's a stand-up. She had like wild hair, crazy sparkly dresses. She's an insult comic is what I saw that. So I'm like, aren't they all?
insult comic dog.
She's Phyllis the insult comic dog. Anyway, I can't believe you guys don't know who Phyllis Diller is, but that's okay.
I don't know about a lot of women's accomplishments, unfortunately.
More like Dillis Filler.
Okay.
I mean. She does the voice of Frankenstein's monster's girlfriend or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, Frankenstein's bride. The bride of Frankenstein.
Is she the bride of Frankenstein?
She is. Yes.
Oh,
she doesn't look
it.
Like her.
No.
But she is her.
Got it. I was confused about that. And Gail Garnett does the voice of Francesca.
Francesca.
Okay, got it. The music was done by Maury Laws, who had done a ton of music for old animated movies like this. The animagic technician was Tad Mochinga. There's a bunch of other people involved, but I don't want to get into all the technical details because we'll be sitting here reading them all night. Where can you watch this goddamn thing? You can rent it on Apple TV, Amazon Video, and something called Crunchyroll.
I think Bunny knows what that is.
You know what Crunchyroll is?
I have it. I have a monthly subscription if you guys want to get on that.
Is it for children?
No, it's for people who like animated stuff.
Oh, so it's for children.
That's how I watch Ghost Stories, which is like this really weird anime show they dubbed in English. And I don't know how to explain it, but it's like a funny show.
We're having that's a cool. haunted cat visitation.
Yeah,
right
also
now.
Our cat is sundowning. I'm super sorry about that. That's not a joke either. I'm laughing, but she is.
Yeah, anyway. She's going to get going here in any minute. You could also rent this at your local video store, I'm sure. Go check it out. Before we get into the recap, I want to talk about the concept of gateway horror. Not horrors about gateways. But
gateway
horror movies. That,
transit center horrors.
Yeah.
Anyways, there.
Horror movies that got you into the genre when you were young that maybe aren't straight up horror films. Maybe they are, but they're maybe lean a little more like a family film. I have a handful. You guys got any that stand out as like the big gateway horror films for you?
I mean, I've been thinking about this, and I would say like as a kid, a couple movies that scared me that weren't exactly technically horror, but kind of were like Monster House. Mm-hmm. That was a movie that used to scare the shit out of me. I feel like every kid who's around my age has an experience where they watched that film and they were just really scared. Coraline also scared the shit out of me.
She watched it with her head, and I was wearing this like cute little fake leopard fur coat, and she had her head inside my coat for half of that movie.
Oh,
I
was
that.
Petrified. And I also will say, when we went to the play of West Side Story, this mm-hmm. is another thing to me that terrified me. There was a fight, the fight scene, and I hid my head under the seat.
But did these things make you want more of that feeling? Because I think that's the gateway. Yeah. Yeah.
And well, the one main thing I was going to say is when I was 10, watched Halloween and Friday the 13th.
Those are actual
horror movies. They are actually really scary. But they did, like, I would say that's what kickstarted, like, my passion for it, is because I had never been so scared of anything. And, like, I, like, had nightmares about both those movies. Specifically the music for both of the movies really freaked me out.
Yeah, the music's good in those. How about you?
I have two really clear. The Watcher, and they're both Disney films, actually. Watcher in the Woods, which, you know, had Betty Davis in it, too. And Something Wicked This Way Comes, which we watched in school because we read the book in school. And there's that part where Pam Grier comes out of the coffin and she's, like, glowing. That, and I was just, it was scary because I wasn't even allowed to watch, like, PG movies forever. And yeah, that one. And then I'd say one other thing is Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, which we're actually going to see in December at the Clinton Street Theater, but scary as shit.
Yeah.
But I was just a big Twin Peaks fan, and I was probably like 14 when I watched that movie. And I had to like close my eyes for parts of it. But
it's heavy too. That's
it's
like
a sad,
heavy,
but
heavy
Bob
movie.
Is fucking scary. So yeah,
that's true.
That whole movie's terrifying.
So that's a little more adult, but those first two were definitely like Disney movies that had an element of fear that I was really into.
Yeah, I had some Disney ones on my list too. There were these weird little short films that my parents had taped off of TV. The first one was Mr. Boogity, and the second one was The Bride of Boogity. They were probably really cheesy. I'm kind of curious to see what they're like now that I'm an adult, because I probably haven't seen them since I was an actual child, but Mr. Boogity was kind of scary. He had like this gross mutilated face. And
did he have boogers?
No.
Okay, was he green?
Kind of green.
Oh my God, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was weird. And then there was a magician and I don't know. That was probably my first gateway. But then of course, like the classics like Ghostbusters, Beetlejuice. Mm. But the ones that really pushed me over the edge, Fire in the Sky. I was getting really into aliens when I was in like fourth grade. And talked my mom into taking me and my friend to see Fire in the Sky. And that movie ruined my life for like 20 years. I was afraid of aliens for like 20 years of my life.
Isn't it set to like somewhere kind of like where you grew up to?
It felt kind of like it.
Woodsy and yeah, woodsy and the mountains. Even though I think it's in the Northeast.
I think it's in the Northeast or somewhere. It's not in the Northwest, but it kind of felt like the Northwest. But then I think Big Trouble in Little China has some scary stuff, and I watched that a lot when I was a kid. And of course, Return to Oz, which is still scary.
Oh, fucked up movie.
That's a great movie. I just want to say, yeah, of course, Beetlejuice and Ghostbusters, 100%.
Also, Goosebumps. I forgot about that, but Goosebumps. I used to watch Goosebumps, like the original show, all like the time.
On Nickelodeon or
and
something.
That would scare me shitless. I used to read the books too, and I would be like scared. Because also,
books when you're like 10 are scary.
None
shit.
Of them
yeah,
end
I read
well.
The early ones.
No.
Like, that's the thing.
No, it's always like, and everything's fine, but
it's
the
not.
Camera is still haunted.
Yeah. No, none of them end well. It's always bad.
I like that Goosebump book about the guy that was like turning into a plant in the basement. Do you remember that one?
Don't come into the basement. That one gave me nightmares.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I remember probably more than any of
the
Goosebump books.
Yeah, good concept.
Yeah, it was cool. Anyways, let's get into what this movie's about.
Oh, shit. It's my turn to go. Okay, well, I wrote, as per usual, extensive notes.
It's kind of binderful.
I did. I've watched this movie probably like 8 times. I'm obsessed with this movie. Like, my quick introduction to this movie was when I was 10. My dad bought me this movie. It was like his gift. He had gone to do like some film shoot. I don't remember what it was. And then he came back from the airport and he handed me this. And I was 10, so I was kind of like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't know what this is, but I remember like randomly watching it and like it became like one of my favorite childhood movies. And I like sing the songs from it because it's also a musical. I made Cody watch a musical. Sorry, Cody. And I would sing the songs and I still do all the time. But to get into it, this is, yes, a stop motion film. And like, simply put, it's basically just about Baron Frankenstein retiring after creating this potion, this miracle serum that destroys everything. And he decides to hold another monster convention, but this time also bring in his successor, who is a man named Felix Franken, or Flanken? Flanken.
Flanken.
And he's a human. So everyone else who's coming to like Baron Frankenstein's estate, his castle, they're all the famous monsters we all know, like the Invisible Cat's here also, the Invisible Man, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Hunchback of Notre Dame is there too. Did I say Dracula? Dracula's there. The Wolfman. Frankenstein's Bride. Every, like, pretty much all of the essential, like, classic horror film movie monsters are there. And Boris Karloff is, like, the lead character. Or, like, the lead monster. He's not the lead character. That's Felix. But essentially, Felix gets a letter from his estranged uncle he has no idea about. He's a pharmacist working at a pharmacy. And he gets this note that basically tells him, like, hey, pull up to this convention. Like, you're my nephew and I'd love to see you. I have this like big secret I'm unveiling. So everyone sort of gets ready. There's like a cool opening scene. We get like a long montage with this cool song that's called Mad Monster Party, where we see all of the monsters get like ready. They're all like coming out of their like special little hiding places, getting ready to go to this convention and see what the hell's going on. So yeah, everyone basically gets there their own means. A lot of the monsters go by boat, and that's like a great scene. I love that scene. They're on the boat and they scare the shit out of everybody who's like the crew of the boat. And a lot of like the monsters too like leave off the boat and go on their own journeys.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like they're getting on this steamer or whatever. Yeah. And then it's like, well, some of them are not, I don't know.
No, well, like the Wolfman just leaves. Dracula leaves too. And the Invisible Man takes off all his clothes
okay,
and just
so
starts
yes,
swimming.
The Invisible Man sometimes is wearing like a smoking jacket and a fez, but sometimes
he's just naked.
He's not. So I'm like, that means he's nude.
No, he's totally nude.
He's nude. Okay.
Felix,
why wouldn't you be?
Cool.
Plays a game of hide and that's like another thing about Felix's character I like to mention. I'm a big fan of Felix. I don't think he's for everybody, but he does a very good job of being a bumbling, kind of nice, well-seeming person. He's like a nerd. He's got his glasses on. He has allergies, whatever.
He like trips over stuff.
Oh, yeah. All the time. He's super clumsy. But he plays a game of hide and seek with Mr. Hyde because Mr. Hyde takes his potion and Felix doesn't know any better. So they play hide and seek, whatever. And they're having a great time. Well, Felix is. And eventually, like, everyone makes their way to the estate. Felix is the last one to arrive. And that's sort of when we get our introduction to the serum. Dr. Frankenstein uses it on a crow and sends it off, and the crow explodes. It's like, and Dr. Frankenstein's like, awesome, I got it. This is great.
Blow up birds.
Like, I can blow up anything now. And then we get introduced to, like, the leading lady of the film, who is Francesca. She's one of Frankenstein's creation. She's considered, like, basically his magnum opus. She's, like, this beautiful redhead, like, robot lady who's super cool. Mean. That's why I really like her, because she's mean. My mom's making a face like she's not a big fan of Francesca.
No. I just don't think we know she's a robot lady till the very end of the movie.
It's kind of implied that she is, though, because she's not. I also, that's not even the twist, which I will not spoil. No one will know unless they watch it. But that's not the point. Basically, this is when Frankenstein reveals, like, hey, I have an heir. I invited him. And Francesca, who thinks, like, this is her birthright, basically is like, I'm going to fucking kill Felix Flanken. I'm going to kill him. So everyone gets there. Felix is nowhere to be found just yet because he's still on the boat. And they have a fun little, like, dinner. They have this dinner. Before that, we get introduced to some, like, side characters like Yetch, who I love his name. Yetch is a great name for, like, a sidekick little, like, guy. But there's also, like, this zombie fleet that is introduced. We get this, like, alluding to a great threat to the island called It. And Dr. Frankenstein is talking about, like, how everyone needs to be on 10, basically, like, hey, this has to go well. Make sure It doesn't get to the island. That's, like, what he says. We get some other, like, fun little scenes. There's, like, a chef scene where Yetch almost gets killed. It's super funny. Anyway, they have their dinner, and that's when it's revealed that Frankenstein's retiring. And that's when shit just goes south, because every monster thinks, like, who's going to be the successor? It should be me. And at this point, Frankenstein hasn't revealed to anyone except for Francesca that the heir is actually this human man named Felix Flanken. So Francesca pulls Dracula, who is, like, the creepiest creep in this film. They really were like, hey, let's make Dracula, like, really horny all the time. So they did that, basically, and he's, like, trying to smooth her while this, like, song is playing where a bunch of mummies or, like, skeletons are singing this song. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even remember really, like, if it has a name. It's just, like, the mummy song.
It's Do the Mummy.
I think it's called It's a Mummy.
It's a Mummy.
Something like that, yeah. Whatever. So they're having a jolly old time dancing, and Francesca's like, hey, I'm gonna tell you who's the heir, okay? And guess what? It's this human.
Now tell me, who is this successor?
The doctor's nephew, Felix Flanken.
This Flanken, flunky, whatever he calls himself. What kind of a monster is he? A ghoul? A demon? A spook? Or
a human?
They're the worst kind. He must be done away with.
And Dracula, of course, doesn't like that one bit. The whole time he's still trying to get his cheese, though. He keeps talking about how women have died, trying to get his kisses. He's really trying to also smooth Francesca, but she's not into it. They do a whole number where they talk about how it's their time to shine. And unfortunately for them, someone is listening. And this is another one of my favorite characters, the Bride of Frankenstein. She has a song in the beginning of the film that I didn't mention called You're Different. That's one of my favorite songs
in
the film.
And she's Phyllis Diller.
Fun fact about her model, though, the reason why she doesn't look like the Bride of Frankenstein is because she was modeled after her.
She looks like Phyllis Diller.
That's why her and Boris Karloff.
So you two fools, if you knew who Phyllis Diller was, you would have known.
I enjoyed it. I've drawn that woman several times even knowing. But anyway, she overhears them. And she gets caught, and they're like, this bimbo, we gotta get her. She can't know what we know. And then she gets saved by her husband, Frankenstein, and then there's a huge food fight. Just shit hits the fan again. They're fighting. Francesca and the Bride of Frankenstein pull their clothes off, and they're, like, boxing. Do you guys remember this? Because I remember this so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, rib each other. It's a cat fight. There's cat fight sounds
cat
in the back.
Sounds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's everything. And then Felix arrives. kind and unassuming as always.
Wait, we just got to Felix Arrives?
Because like I just talked about like
I know I'm and kidding.
But it's true. Like Felix arrives after this like huge blowout fight. I know. We get all the
monster exposition.
Sorry. The monsters fight, excuse me. The monsters fight and they all go to bed because everyone beat each other up and threw all the food out, whatever. And Felix arrives that night. Actually, the morning. He gets there in the morning and he's greeted by Francesca and his uncle, Dr. Frankenstein or Baron Frankenstein. And from there, the scheme to like destroy Felix continues because at this point, word travels fast. They all know Felix, this human man, is coming to like be the successor. And Francesca and Dracula decide, here's what we're going to do. We're going to kill him. And the way we're going to do that is by setting up a picnic.
That's what it does.
Yeah. So they set up a picnic.
That's how I kill people.
In the middle of a jungle. Because they're like, okay. And that's where my quote that I said from the beginning comes in. But like they're in the jungle. And they keep trying to scare the shit out of Felix by bringing out like various monsters. They bring out the wolf man. And Felix is not like scared at all.
He keeps accidentally dodging death, basically. Yeah. It's one of those like slapstick, no. Like...
Felix is a bumbling idiot, but God is on his side. Like, whatever is going on, like, they cannot touch him. The same thing happens with the mummy. He, like, wraps the mummy up. Francesca's pissed because Dracula tries to bite him, and then Dracula's teeth, like, all of his teeth get knocked out.
His teeth fall out.
And so, yeah, that does not work at all. They're back to square one, and Francesca and Dracula are arguing, and Francesca gets double-crossed, actually. So,
turn the page.
I have to turn my page so I can keep remembering this. Why are y'all making fun of me?
Like, you're doing great.
Like, stop. It's I'm trying to be good. It's one of your favorite
movies, and it's definitely shining through.
I'm, like, really excited about this film. So, like, Francesca realizes she's been double-crossed by the Bride of Frankenstein and Dracula, and while that's happening... Felix is getting the rundown from his uncle, basically telling him, like, hey, all of these monsters are, you're going to be in charge of all of them. You know, you can work on your experiments here. Just, like, consider it, right? I'm going to retire. This will all be yours. I'm leaving it to you. And Felix is kind of like, I don't know if I want to do that. But he's thinking about it. And as he's thinking about that, he's contemplating this in a boat. He's sitting in this moat just thinking and thinking, like, am I going to do this? Francesca's making her great escape from, all of the monsters. She tries to, like, find the formula, but she can't. She jumps out of a window and lands into the moat. And that's when Felix saves her. And this is when, like, my favorite part of the movie happens, which isn't what my mom's shaking her head at, but it's like... Okay, she gets saved by Felix, and she's like, oh, Felix. And she keeps trying to explain all of this stuff to him. You know, he saves her, he keeps her in the boat. And she's like, they're gonna kill you. Like, I'm so sorry, I've been a fool. And she's, like, hysterical. And Felix, who at this point has, like, done nothing except for be stupid, decides to do that classic, like, man thing, you know, where he just slaps Francesca because she's hysterical. But he does this twice. She's still hysterical. And she's like, oh, Felix, I've been such a fool. I've loved you this whole time. And then he slaps her again. And then they're, like, in love immediately.
That's how it works.
They're super in love. It's very, like, reminiscent. I was saying this earlier of, like, Chinatown. Ever seen that? It's, like, a very, like, you were a hysterical woman. That's a
different kind of slap, though, in Chinatown.
It is different, but it's still a slap for a hysterical woman.
It is. It's point. Definitely, yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. And then she sings my favorite song of the film, which is There Never Was a Love Like Mine, which is a fire song. Loves it. And then, yeah, from there, like, again, shit hits the fan. All of the monsters are fighting, and... Felix and Francesca are, like, racing the clock, basically, to leave the island before it implodes and it gets there. And I'll kind of leave it at that. I'll leave it at that after saying every other scene in the movie. Thank you. That's my summary.
I can tell you have a passion for this film.
I think it went really well. I wanted to do this in the way I like it to be done. No, that's great. When I listen to podcasts.
It's your time to shine.
It is. It's my time to shine. I like it when people explain a whole play-by-play. I want to hear it all.
Well,
because that doesn't stop me from watching the film.
Understood. So we don't want to talk about what it is. Is that the twist you were talking about?
Oh, no. There's another twist besides it. But okay. Oh, that could be kind of fun because it is fun to get the it reveal.
Well, here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do the monster roll call, covered.
Oh, yeah,
you covered almost all of them, but like, let's just go back through them because they're all the classics.
Yeah, let's do it.
Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, mm-hmm. obviously, the Invisible Man, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde,
mm-hmm.
the Wolfman. Quasimodo, aka the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I can't remember. They called him the Hunchback in this,
yeah,
right?
I think
yeah.
they did. Yeah.
Just the Hunchback, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The creature from the Black Lagoon. There were zombies. I think Yetch is a zombie,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah, he's like the head. It's like the household staff is zombies. Yeah. He is like
the main one. Yeah, because he can talk. The other ones can't.
Yeah. They're skeletons, obviously. They play in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then Francesca.
Mm-hmm.
Francesca.
Yeah,
basically.
Really.
She's something. I don't know. She's a robot or something?
She is. She's just one of Baron von Frankenstein's.
Her shape is
I love it.
I know, but it is like more ridiculous than like Barbie. Her tits are up so high, they're like hitting
and
her in the
like
face.
They're like missiles.
And her, they are, and her waist is like the Snatched. Size of a wrist.
No, I've drawn Francesca so many
times.
So this
is a body
times.
Image. She's good for
it,
young
it's really,
girls.
I would honestly
images.
Say, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a dick, but like if you're looking at a clay model Francesca and going, I wish I looked like her, like don't worry about it. You're not going to look like
you
that.
You can have ribs.
I compare myself to clay.
You do. I mean, that's different.
Creatures and monsters.
Wait, who? Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, your tits are definitely up at your chin, but.
Wait, no, Francesca.
Oh, and then the final monster, it,
mm-hmm.
is King Kong, basically.
Dun, yeah. dun! It is. Yeah, it's King Kong.
And the thing about that is they're all called something slightly different because they didn't want to pay for the royalties. So that's why it's like the creature, not the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
That's why it's like the Hunchback. It anyway, I thought that was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the characters are pretty interesting in this. We haven't mentioned Chef Mafia Machiavelli
oh
yet.
Oh, I mentioned him
Mafia
a little bit.
Machiavelli,
but he's real serious about his food and about if anyone. That's why I said Yetch almost got murked. It was by the cook because he basically insulted his food by saying there's something missing.
It's like the most ridiculous Italian stereotype. Oh, but yeah. Also his name is Mafia fucking Machiavelli.
It's so fucking good.
That might be my favorite part. He's like cooking all these weird, you know, like disgusting things because mm-hmm. they're monsters and then like throwing knives and shit. That is quite a scene.
Oh, sola mia. Oh, so are you. I'm the world's best chef. You're better, you're moolah.
Chef Machiavelli, how are you, maestro?
Hey, Yetch, what are you doing in my kitchen, huh? You are no good snaking in the grass. You're dirty swine. You're a ugly rat.
Oh, thank you for those kind words. I hope I can live up to them.
Yeah, that shit's funny. Speaking of funny, so the comedy in this is interesting. So two of the writers were Mad Magazine people. I think the head writer was maybe the founder of Mad Magazine.
Yeah, I saw
Magazine.
That the person who designed the shape of Francesca's look was one of the co-founders of Mad Magazine. So obviously it is satirical.
Kudos
but it is
to mm-hmm. him.
I mean, hell of a shape, but it
thank
is
you.
Like taking the pin up to like a level of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's all slapstick.
Absurdity.
Like it's very yeah. satirical, like poking fun at everything.
A lot of dad jokes.
Oh,
yeah,
so many.
A lot of dad jokes, a lot of one-liners. I was wondering if back in the days when this came out, if those were... more funny than they are now. Like, I wonder if those were like laugh out loud knee slapping jokes, and now that's kind of like, you know,
right? Because these were before your dad, you know, was cracking jokes.
It's me, your Don Juan.
My Don Juan to look at.
I mean, I love them. Like, they're so dumb. That's why they make me laugh. I'm
no,
like,
I know
this
there
is the
something
stupidest,
fun,
sing songy. Like, bullshit. I love it. My bread and butter.
So the monster party at the start, when they all arrive at the conference before they have their council meeting or whatever it is, it's kind of a rager. Like, the monsters all get wasted. It's kind of funny.
The yeah. monsters do drink a lot.
They're drinking purple drink.
Yeah,
purple.
And then, yeah, they all get in fist fights, like you mentioned, and then the food fight. It gets really wild in there that first yeah. night.
I mean, they, like, take each other's clothes off to fight. It's crazy. Funny.
I
yeah.
like that part.
It was cool.
Did you know that there's a related TV special called mm-hmm. Mad, Mad, Mad Monsters from 1972?
Oh, I did some work to do.
And apparently it builds off of this idea, but Baron von Frankenstein actually makes a bride of Frankenstein, and then apparently the storyline is about him planning a wedding or something.
Is it stop motion? Is it the same people? Or?
I'm assuming so, yeah. I don't know. I just saw it randomly referenced somewhere and thought that was kind of interesting. Might be fun to check out. What else? What else you guys want to talk about? Oh, I have a question. Why does Baron von Frankenstein want to show off this secret of total destruction if he's retiring?
It doesn't necessarily make sense.
Yeah, like, it's the thought process confuses me behind this, because I'm also like, I don't know. I don't want to give this movie too much credit, but, like, in my head, the way I look at it is maybe, like, he already knew, like, what was going to happen was going to happen, you know? But probably not. It doesn't make sense to be like, hey, guys, I made this thing where you can blow up anything with, like, a drop. I was also,
like, curious, really, what the head of the Organization of Monsters does. They just have a party?
Yeah, they just control them and then tell them about their weird inventions.
I just feel like they just have a party every once in a while, and he's like the guy who's got the aisle.
Well, he created half of them, too. I think that's part of it. It's like three out of the how many he made.
Yeah, I guess he
He made Francesca, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein. He made all of them.
Yeah, but he didn't make the Wolfman or Dracula. No. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the logic is. But
I don't know. It reminded me of Monster Squad a little bit. Just like, how did that crew get together in the first place? And it's kind of the same thing here.
Yeah.
I like it, though.
It's fun,
too.
I like the concept. And also, yeah, this is a musical. So what the fuck? You tricked me.
I did trick you because, sorry, you do hate musicals, but like, come on.
It was fun. Some of the music was really good. It and is good. I got to give a shout out to the Skeleton Band playing It's the Mummy song.
Well, I leave you now in the capable hands of Little Tibia and the Fibia.
So I mentioned Maury Laws did all of the writing and the music, but the song was performed by a band called Dyke and the Blazers. Hell of a name.
Mm-hmm.
They were a semi-popular soul funk band from the late 60s, I believe. I don't know anything about them, but I'm going to check it out.
I know that the lead singer was murdered in 1971. That's what I found about them, that they were kind of like a touring band, and it sounds like they were kind of like soul garagey kind of, and the leader of the band, they no longer existed after that, because in 1971 I think it was in Texas he was murdered. San Antonio maybe, or maybe New Mexico. Anyway, murdered. I'm here to give the real facts. Like, I think I mentioned a suicide in the last one. I don't find these things. I'm actually probably the least, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, I don't listen to those kind of podcasts or anything. Like, I'm not into true crime, but here I am bringing the macabre.
The bad news, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm bringing the real shit.
Sorry. More so, realist.
Yeah, one thing I was thinking about when I was watching this was, it kind of reminded me of, like, what a reality show would be like if you had all of these people show up, like, the real monsters of Beverly Hills or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, if you were going to establish an organization of modern monsters now, or maybe just like modern horror villains, who would you include at your like core executive team?
Well, okay, so I have a couple ideas, but also the ones I think of wouldn't be very fun. Like Freddy, Jason, Leatherface, like that's not funny.
No, that would just be like they're all killing each other.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't be like, oh no, you know, Leatherface got stuck in the bucket again.
No, but they might like take over the world. Like,
the Wolfman wouldn't be funny, but he's funny in this.
Yeah.
So I guess it would be like cartoonified versions of them. So okay, that's. I couldn't really think farther than that. I was trying to think of like a female one, and I
that's what's kind of hard is there aren't like many like there are many like you know horror movies that center around like a like female.
It could be the girl from the ring. That's not funny.
No, or like Pearl from the Maxine franchise.
Oh, that's also not funny.
But she would be. In
she,
Clay,
I think she would be funny.
She would be funny. In stop motion. I do like.
She's horny.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? She's been on that farm her whole life.
Start without an element of the reality and TV.
She's not staying on it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd do the Triffids from Day of the Triffids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because I like them. I think they're funny. I don't think they like talk or are really conscious, but I think that would be fun to have one of those little guys there.
Yeah, so maybe some like smaller ones. Because all I can think of is like, okay, who would be the ones that are like these ones? But yeah, if you want to go, like, if it's like, ones that aren't so big, but they're like interesting characters.
It doesn't have to be anything. The first thing I thought of was the Triffids, and then I thought of Michael Myers too. I was like, that'd be a fun. The Triffids, Michael Myers together.
Yeah.
Maybe like Vampyra, just put her in there.
That could be a good one. Yeah. Yeah, I was struggling with it too because, you know, obviously the classic guys come up, Freddy, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Myers, but I was like, Jason and Michael Myers would be kind of a bore on a reality
show.
All
of them, they don't have, you know,
Freddy's funny though.
Freddy's
a wisecracker.
They have like great, like, you know, like cut, like cameos, like in like, you know, when they do like their afterthoughts, his like little one liners, he'd be like,
yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Stupid as shit.
Hell yeah. I had the tall man from Phantasm.
Okay.
He'd be pretty good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think Leatherface could be funny just because...
If you turn it into funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd have to.
Yeah.
Oh, but maybe we need a creepy kid like Damien or something.
Oh, I hate Damien.
What about Chucky?
Chucky. Oh, there you go. See, that adds some humor.
Yeah. And then what about, just to make it crazy, because there aren't a lot of classic monsters anymore like back in the day. What if you just threw in one of the Tremors monsters? It would pop out of the ground and just
and it'd
be
like,
occasionally.
It'd be like, Michael said I had a big butt today.
That'd be crazy. It's confessionals. Like, I don't know what the fuck is
going on
here.
Everyone thinks I ate all the pork rinds.
They keep making fun of me because I have to stay in the dirt.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That turned out, because I was like, fuck, none of our modern ones aren't, they're... Or the main ones aren't like so campy.
No,
or,
they,
you know,
they don't talk either. Like Jason and Michael don't
talk.
Yeah,
that's the problem. They
and that
talk.
Makes it so
non-verbal.
That does mean you can make them, you could inject them with any personality.
That's true. I'd put one of them in there for sure. Like, you can't have both because I don't care if it's even comical. They would just be like
scary.
They're immortal.
Just
and
like
they'd be
sitting
going
in
at
the
each
corner,
other.
Just like. Well,
yeah.
I mean, they have gone, right? They versus.
We
each
have to
other.
Have some eye candy though. So we'd put Michael there. We have to.
Eye candy.
Yeah.
Michael
that's
Myers.
True.
I don't even want to talk about it. But yeah, I do have a little like he's tall and scary. So
therapy.
Not
therapy.
Really though. He murders people. That's why. And also he tried to kill Jamie Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Loyalty to my girl. I'm just saying. Like he's tall and quiet. Like what's not to love? Except for the murders.
Killed a dog.
He did, but you know.
Got any other burning topics you want to talk about this?
Colonoscopy. No, I'm kidding.
There wasn't one of those in this movie that I know
to
of.
Talk about.
I don't know. I mean, I think the main question, I mean, and it's not really a question. It's not a horror movie.
Well, I actually have some thoughts.
Okay. Is that we ready for this?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Ready for
like,
it.
Like, is this a horror movie?
No.
I think it's kind of relative in a way. Here's what I'm going to say about it is it depends on how you define horror. Because I think a horror movie is something that's like designed to like scare you, right? Or it's in some way like trying to. But there's a lot of horror movies that like do a bunch of different genres. You know, we've got like romance horror movies. We've got comedy horror movies. There's like a bunch of wiggle room, I feel like, with that. And I also feel like everyone's definition is like a little different. Because there are movies like I consider horror that are not scary. Like Shaun of the Dead, I would consider it's a comedy horror film.
Because people's heads.
Exactly.
Yeah, explode.
Or like one of my favorite movies, Dead Alive or Brain Dead, which is a horror movie, but it's also a romance. And that's what it centers around. Like, technically, would I say, like, oh, do you want to check out this crazy horror movie? Watch Mad Monster Party. Like, no. But I think, like, it's still, like, a Halloween-y movie.
It's a Halloween movie, 100%.
Yeah. No. It's still, like, yes. Fun. It is a musical, and I have not seen many musical horror films ever.
Phantom of the Paradise.
I would, oh, my God. And see, that movie's not scary, but would you consider it a horror film? Speaking
of musicals that Cody liked, Phantom of the Paradise.
Because it's fire.
I did like that.
Yep.
That's why.
One of her favorites again.
Paul Williams in it.
Paul Williams.
I think you could make the argument either way, whether this is a horror movie or not. But, you know, were the Universal monster movies of back in the day scary? And I mean, I think they were to people that had never seen anything like that. But now it's like, snooze.
That's the point in this thing's favor is like, was the Wolfman scary? Was Dracula scary?
Mm-hmm.
It's campy.
Yeah.
But I mean, back then I wasn't meant to be, I don't think. And
some of them maybe were.
This wasn't meant to be scary, though.
No. But it had all the monsters.
All the monsters are in it. So yeah, just by definition of what the characters are, but like,
maybe it's just like a monster comedy film would be like the best way to describe it. But I don't know. I just think it is like an interesting discourse to have because like there are just like horror movies kind of with that exception where it isn't like, you know, on principle trying to scare you, but like there's no other like category to put it in.
Yeah. And it definitely is a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
It is
like
such a great like entree to Halloween. You know,
I know that's why I was like, this would be fun.
October
it's like,
movie.
Let's kick it off with like a fun, good time. Might be a kid's movie, but there's fun songs to sing. They'll get in your head forever.
And maybe some people have kids
and they'll like it.
Maybe they do.
Maybe someone wants to watch a spooky movie with their kids. It's not annoying either. Like I always had a really hard time with kids movies. I don't think I ever really sat down and watched this one with her because I was usually like, you know,
doing something. Yeah.
Totally.
Being a boss, you know.
Bossing around.
Yeah.
But for sure.
Okay. Well, let's do a little look at what this thing adds up to. So it fits our criteria. It's got 3,600 IMDb votes, IMDb critics, 51 reviews. There's 10 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It does have a DVD, it does have a Blu-ray, but as I mentioned, you could only rent it right now 3 places, so, you know, not super easy to find unless you're looking for it. But that adds up to a 4, so a little low, but one thing I did read somewhere, relative to some of the big holiday movies like Rudolph and Frosty, it was noted that this movie wasn't as popular, but it has developed a cult following. Mm-hmm. So it is a cult film as well in the holiday tradition of animated films from back in the day. So I think that's kind of interesting.
To that point, I noticed when we were looking at it that it was like this has 3,800 on IMDb and Rudolph has literally 10 times that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting because it's the same quality.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say this is any worse or any less entertaining than those ones that you've seen a million times.
Yeah, I love this movie.
There's a more Christmas. I feel like Halloween nerds are starting to like catch up to Christmas nerds as Christmas nerds like age out.
Yeah.
Halloween's taken over.
Oh, yeah.
Just a theory I have.
Been Halloween nerds too.
Excuse me.
Nightmare Before Christmas knew what they were doing.
They with that knew. Fucking movie.
Well, it's because I made you watch it like 80 million
I walked out of it when I was,
times.
I saw it in the theater in high school. I walked out.
That is so funny.
I'm sorry.
Like, that's such a crazy reaction. I have to get out of here.
It was making me, there might've been, you know, like marijuana involved.
Yeah, sure. Marijuana.
That's against the law. Okay. Wait, no, it's not.
Nope.
Not here.
It is when you're in high school, actually. Yeah. Still.
It's still in Texas.
It is when you're operating heavy machinery.
Mm-hmm.
True. Cat. Doesn't stop people, though. Say that much.
Like, operating heavy machinery like a cat. No, I'm watching the cat who's about to, like, dump a glass of water over.
Hey, that's
but
my
luckily
water,
there's...
cat.
Okay.
Spooky
okay.
Black cat.
There's a spooky black cat.
Do you feel like voting on this?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
No hard feelings, guys.
I know. We all close our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah! I'm biased. Y'all knew I was gonna do.
I knew you would.
We knew what you were going to say.
I'm glad you guys liked it.
I thought it was fun. And I this really got me back to thinking of how important the gateway horror concept is. And if you're a big horror fan and you have kids or young people in your life that you want to introduce to some of these movies,
a great place.
It's best to start with something like this and like ease into it. And there's not a lot of options. I mean, there's more now, but back in the day, there probably wasn't a lot of stuff like this. So I think that's important. And I think that these should be part of the canon.
And yeah, most people haven't, we all voted that it's a gem,
it's
by the
way. It's a gem. Oh, yeah, it's not a turd.
It was 3 thumbs up. And yeah, it's like a little delight, you know? It's a delightful little treasure.
A cheerful little fun movie that's also like Halloween themed.
And the animation is, I don't know if we touched, the animation is really fucking close.
Oh yeah, awesome. Some of the sets and the scene designs look super neat.
Mm-hmm. No, it just looks super like aesthetically pleasing. Like that's another thing. Like I'm a big nerd for like art stuff.
I love the water. The way they do the water, it almost just looks like some kind of like shimmery paper layered. It's very cool.
It's like very creative. And that's another, I think, part that makes the movie like it gets to be like more fun and like campy and more of a gem because of how cool it looks visually.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Gem.
Well, let's do a quick review of what we've watched over the past week. All right. Well, we jettisoned one member of the podcast, and it's just Beth and I right now, but you'll hear from Buggy later. She left us a voice memorandum. We're going to talk about what we've been watching in October so far. We got about a week of movies under our belt, and we're just going to jump right in. So, movie number one from 2023, Infested. It's a French film, and what we're going to do here is for each film, we are going to try to describe it in 3 words, and then we'll talk a little more about it after that. So, Infested, what do you got?
Hip French spiders.
Nice. I have a cab with spiders.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got to say about this?
It's a city-ass city movie. It's cool. It's like a band of kind of misfit toys, neighbors helping each other, banding together against the invading spider army, which was kind of cool. Good movie.
Yeah, it was fun. It was not a comedy. Most spider movies, creature features like this are kind of comedies. This was actually pretty intense, anxiety inducing.
Mm-hmm.
The main character brings home a spider that causes havoc, but it's fun. I recommend this one a lot. Yeah. I think it's great. Definitely not a gem hunt candidate because it's a kind of a big boy. Did some big numbers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but that's okay. Okay, up number two. Yeah, let's go
up
with
your
it.
Number two shoot.
Yeah, right up your number two shoot is The Evil from 1978. What do you got?
Haunted Cinnanon Mansion.
Ooh. I just had Nefarious Haunted House, which, mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty close.
I got to admit that we watched this the day I had my COVID booster and flu shot, so I did fall asleep. What I have to say about it is it was fun. It was a cool house. There's the kind of some bad dog action.
Yeah, a little bad dog action.
Which always kind of upsets me, but it was fun. Just fun.
Yeah, it's a haunted house. It's a bad ghost, very bad ghost, sets people on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fun, though. It's hard to find a good haunted house movie these days, so it's always fun when you stumble upon one. But I think it's worth it. I think this one would fit our criteria if we ever come back to it. Yes, only 3,240 votes on the IMDb machine.
Interesting.
So if we wanted to cover a haunted house movie sometime in our future, we could do this one. Okay, up next, number three, Larry Fessenden's Wendigo from 2001.
Don't challenge yokels.
Oh, shit. I had don't trust yokels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Synergy.
This has a hint of kind of demonic spirituality, but that's not really what it's about. What do you got?
So I've seen this movie before and I liked it before, but I had forgotten. It's kind of depressing. It's really well done, I think. Good acting, good story, but it's, oh, here he is. He has been in every, he's watched every movie with us. It's a good movie, kind of depressing, well done. That's what I think about it.
Yeah, this one is a bit of a family drama almost. It's a slow burn, but it gets pretty crazy. It's pretty cool. I liked it. It fits our criteria also. What do we got here? About just over 4,800.
So. Oh, I'm surprised by it. I mean, I guess just because I had seen it, which, not that I don't ever see obscure movies, but usually when it comes to horror movies, I see buzzy ones, you know, and I saw this when it came out.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably the Larry Fessenden.
Probably. Yeah. This was his first movie, his first maybe like big feature. He might have done some really small indie stuff before that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's, interesting.
Anyways, let's move on to Corpse Mania. From 1981, a Hong Kong film.
Sexy maggot corpses. That's what I wrote.
Ooh, nice.
I forgot a word there, but that's fine.
I kind of cheated on this one, but that's okay. I wrote nasty Hong Kong giallo.
Oh, yeah. That's four words.
Yeah.
I would have said sexy maggot corpse fucking.
Oh, yeah. Corpse fucking. There's corpse fucking in this movie. Mm-hmm.
So that makes it sound a lot more scandalous than it is. And those parts are gross and extreme, but it's kind of like a slow, pretty, weird, detective-y, like, there's the main thing I took away from it is there's like these lovely interior courtyards hung with plants. It was fun. It was, you know, like kind of a mystery, which is always fun. Gross.
I liked it a lot more than I was expecting. I was expecting either boring or like some weird, sloppy, confusing shit show. But it was actually pretty tight. The gross stuff was gross. I thought it was cool. It looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend this one. This one definitely fits our goddamn criteria. Motherfucking 462 votes.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot, I was saying, there's a lot of potential gems on there.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're not voting on any of these, but wait, maybe if we can come to some kind of consensus offline, we could, but.
Yeah, maybe. Third member is in school, so third member is not focused on watching a movie every night.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Okay, number five, Zadare, also known as Revenge of the Dead. This is kind of cool.
Italian typewriter nonsense.
Oh, I had subtle zombie mystery.
Oh. So when I say nonsense, I don't mean it in a derogatory way. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a mystery, had like Pet Cemetery vibes. A little bit convoluted, again, like really cool locations, sort of like Corpse Mania. A lot of cool locations in all of these movies, actually, so far, really. Yeah, fun. A little bit. It's the only one that I felt like I got a little bit lost. You fell asleep in this
one. I might have fallen asleep, yeah.
So, just saying.
It moved slow a little bit at parts, but not in a bad way. But, you know, sometimes on a weekend, late at night, you have a movie like that, you fall asleep.
It was fun,
I don't know. Don't blame me. This was also a criteria meter for Jim Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
2,500. So, man, we have a lot that we could come back to if we want to.
Cool.
Yeah. It's been a pretty decent October so far. Okay. Number six from 2022. The Harbinger.
Pandemic bird bummer.
Oh, yeah. I think we're kind of on the same page. I had sad pandemic world.
Yeah. So what I thought about this was it's good to see, you know, it's so easy to forget when we were in the depths of this shit, like when you couldn't sit anywhere near someone else on the bus, like all these, you know, grocery stores, all the weirdness, not being able to see your family. It definitely kind of brought back that feeling. It was depressing. That time was depressing. But yeah, it really captured that. It was one of those kind of fucked up things where, you know, the crux of it it was a thing that spread from person to person that you're like, there's no fucking way out of this once it happens, which that also feels like COVID, but it was not uplifting, but it was well done too.
Yeah, no, I like the concept. It was pretty good. It's a newer movie, but at the moment it fits our criteria, just under 1900, but I could imagine this maybe building up some steam. Although there was pretty mixed reactions to this when it came out, which is why it kind of sat on my list for a while, even though I thought it sounded good. But not a waste of time, even though it's kind of a bummer.
So none of them have been so far. We've been getting lucky that we haven't, you know, had one of those total flop turds.
Flop turd. Okay, What about Panic Beats from 1983? What do you think about this son of a bitch?
Telenovela murder fucking.
Oh, murder fucking. I had medieval domestic abuse.
Okay, yeah.
You think that's about right?
Yeah, yeah. It had a really cool soundtrack. My favorite title screen so far. Really cool hand lettering. Yeah, a knight. I don't even know. Yeah, like a knight comes back from the dead. He's all about avenging adultery, even though, like, he's fucking whoever he wants. I mean, I don't know, his ancestor is. It's very, like, the villains get killed and other people do, too. Like, and there's some gross-out shit.
A lot of people die in this movie.
Yeah, brutally.
Spanish.
Uh-huh.
From Spain.
In Espan. Oh, it was... Oh, de España. I thought it was de Mexico, but de España. Interesting.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. It's kind of, we've talked about Euro sleaze before. I think this is kind of a Euro sleaze film.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. You feel it. You see it. That's how it is.
Some good hair and outfits in this one.
Yeah. Interesting. Maybe a bit of a weak link in the first batch of movies we're watching, but still not a waste of time. If you're into that kind of thing, you're into Euro sleaze, you're into that era, you're into weird gore, I think it's worth a watch. All right, finally, the last movie that we've watched is an Austrian film called Hotel from 2004, not to be confused with all the other movies called Hotel out there. Yeah.
Simple forest lore.
Oh, yeah. I had creepy hotel bummer.
Okay. Yeah. If you put those six words in a bag and arrange them in any order, that's the movie.
Fuck yeah.
I think it was more of a vibe than a story.
Definitely.
But it was really minimalist. It felt very Germanic, but it was cool. Like, it was also short, which helps if you're going for that thing. I think it was barely over an hour long. I don't think it was an hour and a half long.
No, it wasn't even an hour and a half.
It was beautifully shot. It kind of builds and flatlines on like a horrific note. And it was, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Some of the reviews complain that nothing happens. And I guess you could say that's true, but it's really more of just trying to capture this dread and not over explaining everything, you know.
And there is like a villain or a bad actor who is like a witch of the woods, and that is, I don't know, I think, do you think nothing happens in the Blair Witch Project? I mean, it's kind of, people do disappear.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I could see that a little bit. It's a Lynchy too. It's kind of,
yeah, it was Lynchy. That would have been a word for me.
Yeah, had some Twin Peaks vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, pretty interesting. Let's see. Does this one fit our criteria? I don't know. Holy shit. Yes, it does. Dang. Just under 1900. So we've covered a lot of potential gems that we're not voting on, but they're there for the taking, potentially.
Yeah, other people could vote on them.
True.
And Buggy might, you know, get around to it. I'm happy that she's focusing on school.
Yep. So it's Wednesday. We are a little bit out of character here because this is a little segment that we recorded outside of the episode that you're currently listening to. But that doesn't matter. Tonight's movie is called The Redeemer, Son of Satan. And we're going to log off here and we're going to go watch that. And this episode's going to come out in a couple days, so we're pretty current. Saturday, if you're listening to this on Friday, the 11th. Tomorrow, Saturday the 12th, we'll be at the Hollywood Theater.
Oh, yeah.
For a queer horror event.
Yeah.
We're watching The Convent, which we mentioned, I think, on our last episode. Anyways, we're locked in. Our dog's grumbling and whining. And
he's ready for his movie.
Yeah, he's ready for a movie. I'm ready for a movie. Let's hear what Buggy has been up to.
Oh my God, hi. Did you miss me? I don't know if this audio is going to work out, but if it does, I'm just putting my two cents in terms of what horror movies I've been watching recently. And I'm studying for my Spanish class, so I've been watching a lot of horror movies in Spanish. And I forgot about the Rec series. So I've watched Rec 1, 2, and 3, and they're all so fucking good. The second one's probably like the best one, but the third one's my favorite. So that's what I've been watching recently. Super fun. If you haven't checked those out, you totally should. I haven't seen the fourth one yet, so I'm not sure if like all four are good, but it's like pretty rare to find a horror series where like two of the sequels are actually better than the first one. So yeah, great. Been having a great time with that. Happy Halloween. Happy fall season. Bye.
All right, so don't forget, check us out at dirtdogcinema.com. We have some horror movie bingo cards you can print out from there. We are using them.
Mm-hmm. We've been using them all along.
We've been using them all along. I don't know where I am or what's happening, but yeah, if you're doing what we're doing and watching a horror movie every night, it's kind of fun to play bingo with tropes that you see in these things. Sometimes it takes 3-4 maybe a full week of movie before you get a bingo, but stick with it. It's pretty fun. You can follow us on the Instagram. We'll be posting about what we're watching and what we're up to. You can email us your thoughts or recommendations to jimhuntpodcast@gmail.com, and keep plugging away at October, people. This may be the last October we ever have. Oh, by the way, we're also going to a big queer horror event at the Hollywood, yeah, which is going to be fun. We're going all three of us, mm-hmm, the whole Dirt Dog family. We're going to see The Convent, which I've never seen. It's supposed to be a good time.
I can love that movie.
I've never seen it.
Hell yeah. Any final thoughts for the episode?
I had a great time, guys. I don't know about you.
Woo! Yeah. I'm just looking at this. From where I'm sitting, I can see a Kris Kristofferson record. So I can see two. I just want to say rest in peace, Kris Kristofferson. Yeah. Nothing to do with horror, but unless you count Big Top Baby as horror.
No. Yeah, you could.
It could. Large Marge.
Yeah, but he's not in that one.
Oh, he's not. Oh, that's Big Top. I'm sorry. It's
anyway,
not
I went way off the rails.
Embarrassing.
That's okay.
That's what
yeah.
I was thinking about.
Rest in power, Kris.
Yeah.
Have a good night, everyone, and enjoy your October. We'll be back very soon.
Yeah.
Woo! I thought maybe you'd sing It's Our Time to Shine at the end.
Dogs on a gym hunt.